Hey writers, KJ here, announcing a new series and a definite plus for paid supporters of Hashtag MWriting. It's Writing the Book, a conversation between Jenny, who's just finished a blueprint for her next nonfiction book, and me, because I've just finished the blueprint for what I hope will be my next novel. Jenny and I are both trying to, quote-unquote, play big with these next go-rounds, which is a meta effort for Jenny, as that's exactly what her book is about. And we're basically coaching each other through, trading pages, thoughts, and encouragement, as well as some sometimes hard to hear honesty about whether we're really going in the right direction. So come all in on Team Hashtag MWriting, and you'll get those Writing the Book episodes right in your pod player, along with access to monthly AMAs, the book labs, first pages episodes, and come summer, we shall blueprint once again. So sign yourself up at amwritingpodcast.com.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay.
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone and try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Hey listeners, it's KJ here, and this is Hashtag MWriting, the weekly podcast about writing all the things, short things, long things, pitches, proposals, fiction, nonfiction. This is the podcast about getting that work done, and this week, we're all here with a mid-year check-in. But still, introduce yourselves, people.
I'm Jess Leahy. I am the author of The Gift of Failure and The Addiction Inoculation, and you can find my journalism at the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Atlantic.
I'm Serena Bowen, the somewhat exhausted author of many romance and thriller novels, and my brand new one is called Dying to Meet You.
I'm Jenny Nash. I'm the founder and CEO of Author Accelerator and the author of 12 books in 3 genres, and today, not so tired. So, you know, day by day.
Yay! I'm KJ Delantonia, the author of 3 novels, most popular which is The Chicken Sisters, and the most recent is Playing the Witch Card, and also the former editor and lead writer of The Motherlode at the New York Times, which feels like a total past life. And this is our mid-year Are We Achieving Our Goals check-in, and I badly wanted to make fun of Jess, who said she had to go get her notebook so she would know her goals, but then I didn't realize I didn't know mine, so I had to go get my notebook, so now I can't, and it's pretty much a crushing blow to me. Has anybody achieved anything so far? I can totally believe we're 6 months into the year. It's been a really long 6
yeah.
months, and also I haven't done anything. Okay, that's me.
KJ, you were saying that actually. It's funny because you were saying that about, was it January or February? You kept saying this month is lasting forever. You think you're just having that year?
I am.
Aren't we all though?
I thought we were all having that year, but maybe not.
I'm looking at my goals page here and I'm kind of astonished to see that I really am accomplishing a lot of them. Because every day feels like such a battle, you know? I have write a romance, write a thriller, plan another romance, and maybe revise this one other thing. And man, I'm doing it.
Yep.
Like, I have written the words count for one entire book, even though neither of them is finished yet, but I'm chugging along. The other stuff I wrote down for doing at home and in my personal life is sort of happening, but it just feels, it feels hard. Like the weight of the world is weighing down on my week. And so it's actually kind of lovely to look at this and see like, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we're getting some of this done.
That's why we do this. That's why it's nice to check in. And I think it also, you know, it goes back to a long time ago, we used to talk about accountability buddies or accountability bunnies, as we have called them sometimes. And I think it's just great to have them, not just to hold you to task when you're not doing the stuff, but to help you remember that it's important to check in and realize that we are getting the stuff done. It may not look exactly like what we were expecting. And in fact, mine going forward, I'll go ahead and go next, because mine looks so different from what I expected it to be, and yet it's going really well. But before I move on, Serena, is there any chance you could share with us for the big picture, like mile high view, what was your word for this year?
Well, I did just notice that I left.
Oh, I have it. Okay. Your word was presence. I wrote them down. Your word was presence.
Oh, I like that.
You know, and yeah. I am not doing a terrible job on presence. I'm not doing a bad job.
Jenny, your word was Teflon.
That's what I thought. Let's stick with Serena a minute, though, because I'm fascinated by the fact that the way you're describing that you're feeling and the fact that you achieved these goals and you feel like you're doing well, all of that happened despite the fact that you didn't think it was. Like, it's just the daily actions that lead up to the goals, right? I mean, it sounds silly, but that's like you sit down and you do the work and you achieve the things.
I guess I do. And part of what's disorienting about this year is that I'm actually writing less overall and I am going more places. You know, presence means my presence is in several different states and countries. And so that it feels disorienting because I've had to be better at switching from working on the novel to being on vacation with my family to working on the novel to doing a book tour in May, which was super time consuming. But I guess, with some hiccups here and there, like I've been able to switch tasks in a way that is getting it done.
That's very cool.
It's also nice every once in a while, you know, to look back on those stickers that are on the calendar. And for those of you who have joined us recently, we haven't really talked about stickers in a long time, but our sticker thing is, you know, we all tend to have the same kind of plan book. And on our calendar, we get a sticker if we reach whatever goal it was for that day. Often it's a word count goal. And it's really nice to be able to look back. Well, I guess it depends on the month. But generally speaking, it's really nice to be able to look back at the calendar and see those little stickers. Plus, at the first day of every month, we have a little text thread where we decide what the sticker is going to be, what kind of vibe we're feeling that month, because we do have a lot of stickers. There's a lot of stickers. But Serena's been killing it with her stickers, and I'm very impressed with her.
I do love to flip back and see how, you know, like last month, it's like, oh, look at the good job you did. That's so pretty.
People ask me all the time if that undercuts the, you know, one of the things I talk about in Gift of Failure and when I'm speaking at schools is about, you know, trying to use the carrot and stick method to make kids do what you want them to do. And we're not supposed to rely exclusively on extrinsic motivators. We're supposed to rely on things that make us like want to do the thing for the sake of the thing itself. But when you reward yourself with something, it is an intrinsic process. And I think that the sticker for us anyway has been such a, now it's been going on for a long time, and it's such part of our language as a group of people. And it is really rewarding to slap that sticker on there.
I really believe you about intrinsic versus extrinsic goals, because I know for sure that no sticker chart I ever made for one of my children was any damn good. But mine is for me, and that's why it works.
Do you know that there's an exception when it comes to sticker charts? There is one situation in which sticker charts work really well for kids, and that's potty training, because there appears to be something about getting out of the diaper and into big boy or big girl panties, underpants, that makes them intrinsically motivated to do it. So if parents out there are hearing this and thinking, oh man, sticker charts don't work, and they don't over the long term, but for potty training, for some reason they do. Anyway, I think it's great. And plus, when we buy the stickers, we're just envisioning all that writing we're going to do. And so when you put the little sticker on there, it's our nice little reward. Am I going next?
Yeah. You go next.
Go for it.
All right. So my word this year was a really appropriate and very topic specific one for me, and my word this year was growth. And many of you know I went back to school and I got my master gardening certificate, and I'm now in my intern phase. I have to do 40 hours of volunteer work over the next 2 years to get my full certification, working on that. But all things looking back, the first 6 months of this year, which is when this class ran and when I was doing studying, like I had to study botany and entomology and all that sort of stuff. I have grown a lot this year. In other news, I also, after 10 years of debating and planning and learning, finally got a beehive. So I now have bees and I have my gardens going. So for me on that side, growth is crazy. And then in terms of my goals, something really interesting happened. And this is another reason having other writers or creatives in your life is so important. So I was really struggling with the book proposal I actually wrote. I completed it. And my agent was liking how it was going and everything was good. And then I just realized through the process of writing it that it wasn't feeling like the right thing for me to be writing right now. And Serena had planted an idea in my head months before about something she really wanted me to write. Like, it occurred to her that it would be a really good idea, and I poo-pooed it at first, and then I let my brain sort of ruminate on it for a bit, and I realized, oh my gosh, you're right. This is such a great topic. So I started again, which is fine. It's my book proposal. I can do what I want, people. Don't look at me like that, all of you people. They would never do that because they don't look at me like that. I started with a new topic that's really exciting for me, and also requires a lot of growth from me. This isn't like something I could just spit out because I already know the material. It's forcing me to have to grow in some ways, especially as doing statistical analysis and things like that. And thank you, Serena, because I know at the moment you mentioned it in the first place, I dismissed it and I didn't mean to sound dismissive, but you were right. It was a really good idea.
Wow. I didn't know. I mean, I remember this conversation so well. Mm-hmm. But of course, like, it's kind of your friend's jobs to spit ideas at you. Like, nobody is under any obligation to weigh them. But I find that when people spit ideas at me, I often have an early no. Mm-hmm. And then it almost always takes till later until I'm like, oh, wait.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't until I do what I do as part of my process, which is to think, okay, from that angle, that's interesting. What would the chapters be? Let's say, just for fun, if I were to think about this, what would the chapters be? What might my introductory chapter look like? Oh, wait, there's that anecdote that would fit really well here. In fact, yesterday I got a spam email that I saved because something in that email triggered an idea about something. So it's really, this one has been fun. And I have to credit Serena with this one. So my goals are going to look a little bit different. But then this other thing happened, which is I decided to start this new series, this From Soup to Nuts series. That's sort of like I have a really interesting idea for a nonfiction book. What do I do now? And you can get on that series if you become a supporter, because episode one was free and the rest are going to be for supporters. And I'm guiding this person through the entire book process, the book proposal process. And I realized, aha, if I'm doing this in real time, this is a fantastic excuse for me to be doing the sections I'm assigning to her at the same time. So I'm working through my new proposal for this new idea at the same time she's working through her proposal, which also gets me in a really nice headspace for discussing those sections with her. I have to be very deep in those sections. She's working on her introduction right now and thinking about agents that she's going to query. And while I don't have to query an agent, I very much have to write the introduction. So we've been going back and forth on that, and it's caused me to have to think very deeply about mine too. So it's all, I think this is one of those, like, you know, right thing, right time. I like it. I'm happy. Even though I haven't met the goals, I'm very happy.
Are you sharing what your topic is, the new topic?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. Okay. Soon. Maybe for our end of the year check-in, I will.
Okay.
I don't want to lose the juju.
My word of the year, thank you for reminding me, was Teflon. And the reason for that was I had been involved in a trademark battle last year that was very upsetting to me. And I was wanting to step into my power, I think is what that word Teflon meant, and not be pushed around by the winds of fortune, but to stand strong in what I was doing and who I was and what I was standing for. That's what Teflon meant to me. And here in the mid-year. Oh, my tangible goals were I wanted to write a book this year, a book about writing. And KJ and I have been doing a series where we have been chronicling that progress. And where I stand today is I feel great about it. I feel great about it. And the process of writing it has been kind of aligned with that idea of Teflon, of keeping, really understanding what I want to say, what I believe, stepping into that power. That's actually what the book is about as well. So it's very meta, and it's been hard, much harder than I thought it was going to be, and also much more satisfying than I thought it was going to be, which is nice. And my other goals had to do with my business. I needed to get my business into, the way I describe it is to get it into integrity. At the end of last year, 2024, I did a last chance sale on the price that my book coaching certification course was priced at. And the intention was that I needed to raise my price a lot to bring it into integrity with what we were offering and what it was. And I made those moves. I had that end of year sale. I raised the price and I joined a business mastermind of other entrepreneurs in, nobody's in a space topically close to mine, but a lot of people are in spaces that are similar-ish, and they're all women. Well, that's not true. We have one man in our cohort, but just people really trying to step into their power as entrepreneurs, and I've been really giving myself over to this, the work of this business mastermind, and to learning from the coach who's running it. And in terms of Teflon, it feels like all of a piece, all of the same thing of becoming who I am and really tapping into what I believe. And I've been really surprised at how much more there is to learn. My own brain, my own habits, my own tendencies, my own fears and weaknesses and strengths. It just is really surprising to me, the older I get, that there's still so much to learn. I guess I must have thought it in some part of me that you get to a place where you think you know everything, and it's just not true. It's just not true. So I've been really enjoying the learning, and I feel that my business is coming into a place that I always wanted it to be. And the word I would use for that is easeful, full of ease. And that doesn't mean that it's easy, but that there's an elegance to it and a naturalness to it. And I keep using this word integrity, but it feels like a business that has a lot of integrity. And so I too, Serena, feel proud of this year so far, and that I have done what I set out to do. And I find it curious that I have already raced to put in new goals and bigger goals and more goals, even for this year, that it's not enough just to meet the big goals set. So that's another topic, perhaps for another day, but kind of aligned with stopping to celebrate that you have achieved those things. I tend to be really bad about that, and I just keep backfilling new goals and new things. And, you know, the goalpost keeps moving. But I feel good about where I sit.
Well,
fantastic.
Yeah. My
super happy for you.
Big surprise in opening my notebook is that I too am exactly on track to achieve my goal, because my goal, at least the only one in capital letters, is complete nothing. And I in fact am exactly on track to complete nothing this year. I did put some things under that, which is I do want to draft a book, but draft means draft. It says that right here on this page. It says draft does not mean finish. So,
And are we drafting?
We are sort of barely drafting, but we are pulling together a book that is harder than the last ones that I have pulled together, I think. And my other goal for this year was, it was inner compass. I am supposed to be stopping looking at other people to compare what I'm doing. I'm supposed to be letting other people, you know, do their thing without feeling responsible to it, listening to myself, not absorbing the tension of the world around me. And I am definitely still working on that. Like, that has been a daily preoccupation of mine, is to work on this book, not some other book, not some more appealing book, not the book that some friend is working on, not the book that I just read that I really liked, but this book. So, yeah, I am doing it. I'm striving towards enjoying that process. I don't want to be living so much in the world right now. That's not actually a commentary on the world. I just think I need to write this book out of my own head. So it's kind of hard.
It is hard.
You know, yeah, it is hard, but it's also, you know, for me, sometimes reassuring to find ways to block the other stuff out. I mean, I had to make a very specific choice this year to get off Instagram. I'm not off completely, but I'm on it a lot less because I was finding myself, we've talked about this before, we've talked about jealousy and we've talked about FOMO before, but I had some friends who had terrific success with a book and they absolutely 100% deserved it. And they got insane media. And every time I went on there, I would see them or someone else and I felt it happen in me in that moment. I felt myself go, but why didn't I get that? Why didn't I do that? And I turned to Tim and I said, I have to stop going on Instagram because it's making me feel really bad about myself and not good for my friends who are having these incredible successes. And so, you know, I think it's just maybe it's because I'm not putting a book out this year or whatever, but it was forcing me into a bad place. So sometimes shutting that stuff out, man, it's been good. And you know, my new favorite thing to do instead of going on Instagram is
bees.
I go up and I sit. I go up and I sit. And I was just talking to my dad about this. He said, you know, he was watching the bees with me. And he said, you know, you could, like, if you put a chair up here, you could just sit up here for a long time and watch the bees go in and out and see how much pollen is on their legs and all that sort of stuff. And I said, oh, no, I do that. I sit up there and it's like bee TV. And I watch them go in and out and in and out and in and out. And I just watch what they do. And that's, I'm trying to, anytime I feel the need to, like, get on Instagram, I'm like, no, go watch the bees instead. That's more fun anyway. And it doesn't make you feel bad about yourself.
I love that. Bee TV. Yeah. Come on. That's great.
They're pretty cool.
I also love, like, you know, like this is where my head goes and this is the thing I want to stop. Don't put like a camera on them and monetize them and like make them famous viral bees. You know, like come watch the bee camera channel and you can relax. And like, I mean, you know, we totally do that if you want to, but like I need to stop having those thoughts about everything.
Yeah.
Like, I have chicks. Should I be putting them on Instagram so everyone can see my chicks? they're chicks. I have chicks. It's fine to have chicks without having chicks loudly, right?
Well, I actually had a really interesting, speaking of that, I had a very interesting moment where I realized I had been listening to music when I was gardening. And sometimes I'm listening to books. Shout out Taylor Jenkins Reid, new book, Atmosphere. I couldn't gobble it down fast enough. But I also can't hear what the bees are doing when I'm listening to something. So I can't, and I have to listen because you can tell when they're starting to get upset by the sound of their buzzing.
It gets louder, it gets more intense, little things happen. And so you can sort of back off or use the smoker and calm them down a little bit. And it's been really nice. And so I've taken the earbuds out of the ears. But in the defense of the people who have gone before me doing this and took the time to film it, I've learned a ton from them. So I'm very grateful to a bunch of people who did think to turn the camera on the bees, but I'm not going to be doing that myself.
Yeah, that wasn't meant to.
Yeah, no.
I was just watching a YouTube video to show me how to set up a smoker. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
All that stuff is great.
I had to do something in the hive that really scared me. I had to get rid of some extra comb that was sticking up, and it's going to make the bees mad when you do it because things are going to die and I'm going to squish some things. And so I watched like 10 instructional videos by other people on how to do it. So I'd covered every angle from an educational perspective. And Tim was like, I have never seen you this intimidated to do anything. Like, you're so fearless. And I'm like, but the bees, I'm freaked. I'm going to hurt the bees. So I watched a lot of videos to do that. And that was great. I learned a lot. So anyway, but no, I will not be monetizing my bees. Those are for me. All right. How's everybody feeling? Everybody good? I think this is good because you all going into this, people are like, oh no, I'm afraid to look at my word. What if I didn't accomplish anything? And I think all of us are sort of leaving this feeling like, oh, we did some stuff. This is good.
Yeah. At least being the person that I wanted to be this year.
Mm-hmm.
KJ, I loved that you put complete nothing. Like you were trying to give yourself a break, right? You're trying to let yourself just be different kind of bee than bees. But and maybe you haven't allowed yourself that, but it gives you so much leeway, right? And drafting a book, to your point, is there can be a lot of definitions of that.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just... I think it possibly has to do with having been in such a prominent and high profile position earlier in my career that I have this tendency to feel like if I'm not getting feedback, I'm not doing anything. Like if I'm not sort of constantly, loudly announcing myself to people and telling them what I think and what I'm doing and how it feels to be doing the thing and maybe what they should be doing, then I'm, you know, like, who even am I? And I can name, like, writers that I want to be like that are not, like, sort of living hugely and putting their chicks on social media, unless they want to. Like, you could tell the difference between people who really want to and people who don't. And, but I am scared that I am not as good as those writers, and therefore I should probably just stick to being a shouty person begging you to pay attention to me. And I'm definitely just sort of trying to figure out my way within that world right now.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to do that.
Yeah.
All right, well, I like it.
Okay, well, we know Jess has read something good lately because she mentioned Taylor Jenkins reads this atmospheric.
I loved it. I listened on audio, by the way, and there are two female audiobook narrators, one whom you probably have heard of a million times, Julia Whelan, who's everywhere, and she's fantastic. And then the other one, I'm going to look up so that I can come up with it. But
while you're looking her up, I wanted to say... I was trying to figure out why I'm not going to read this book. I love Taylor Jenkins Reid. I've loved her last ones. Mm-hmm. And I realized I don't like, I only like space books if they're like set in the future and space is sort of under control. Other than that, a space book to me is like a water book. And I don't like it. It's too much scary.
Okay.
Too much scary, unwieldy stuff. So I don't plan on reading this one.
Just so you know, it's hardly about space. And by the way, the other narrator is Kristen D. Mercurio. And it is a romance. It is an adventure. It is a thriller. It's all those things. And it's just, she really, the language is really good. The language is just great.
But also,
There's plenty of books. It's fine. If one does not interest you in this moment, read a different book. It's all good.
Absolutely.
I'm so curious. I know this is a ridiculous question to ask any writer, but how she lands on her topics. Because like tennis, you know, Malibu celebrity, space, like it's so great.
Yeah. And she had to do a lot of research for this book because there's a lot of really highly technical stuff and her protagonists are highly technical people. And so, she had to do a lot of research for this.
The Book Riot people pointed out that she's kind of the queen of women doing jobs.
Oh.
Yeah, but to also Christina Lauren also, they are big fans of like, they're, you know, agents, they're dude ranchers, they're, you know, they hop from thing to thing. And that's one of the things I enjoy about them. It's sort of like, I could do this or I could do that. And you get to like sample all these different lives through the characters that they do as well. Anything else people have read?
I just finished a book.
Okay. Good job, KJ.
Thank you. I'm feeling very proud. No, I just finished Tess Gerritsen's The Spy Coast at Serena's recommendation, and it was so good. Just really endlessly, just really entertaining, and not a low-stress read, but a really great read. I'm going to read the next one.
It's on my list, too.
Well, then I would like you to know that the next one I actually feel might be even better.
Ooh, can't wait.
Because she's done such a fantastic job of setting up this pretty unusual group of people. And in the second book, she really sinks into it and lets the strange setup really play out in a way that is totally charming.
Well, I've had a rocky personal things going on in the last month, and so my reading has been sort of interestingly I've gravitated towards different things than I might normally, and there's a book that I've been gravitating toward at night when I want to sort of turn my brain off and just get ready to go to bed, and it's called Shakespeare, The Man Who Pays the Rent by Judy Dench, and it is the most charming book you will ever read. It's Judy Dench talking to her friend Brendan O'Hay about the roles that she's played over the years, the Shakespearean roles she's played over the years. And so you'll get a chapter on like Lady Macbeth, but it's just Judy Dench riffing about like that time when Anthony and, you know, Sir Anthony, and she's talking about, you know, like all the famous actors, and then she's, you know, Brandon will ask her, well, how do you play the scene when she's, you know, washing her hands or whatever, and she'll just say these very charming things about it's just so fun and insightful, and you can just, it's almost like reading poems. They're just little snippets of, oh, now we're gonna read about when she played Titania, and it's just so great. So it's just nothing but total delight, and it also makes you realize the incredible work that actors do. So
I may have to do that one on audio, because I'm assuming she reads that one, and oh my gosh, that would just be an amazing audio read.
She does, and my daughter listened to it and said it could not be more charming. Yeah.
Sharina, have you read anything lately?
I am in a big drafting phase and not a big reading phase. And everything I checked out of the library ends up being recalled before I can finish it. It's just really pathetic over here.
So. Well, I'm gonna do one for you then. We both read Say You'll Remember Me by Abby Jimenez, and enjoyed it.
Abby Jimenez. Yes, we did.
And we both enjoyed the heck out of that one. And also, it has lots of career in it. If you like a hot vet, this is your hot vet book.
It was darling. And what we especially loved about it is how much she gets out of a book that, on paper, not a whole lot happens, which sounds like a condemnation of the book, but it's absolutely not. Like, she just doesn't need big drama to make this book fantastic. And that was just really skillful.
Yeah, no, it's excellent. Huge fun. All right, kids, we would love to hear if you, go back, look at your goals from the beginning of the year. Are you also surprisingly achieving what you set out to achieve? Do you want to regroup? What's going on with you? We would love to hear back. If you hit the show notes and comment in the comments, we will absolutely talk back to you because, that's our idea of fun.
It is.
Might even have to do a little chat thread in Substack when this comes out. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I don't know. People don't seem to love chatting.
I don't know.
Comments. Yeah. I can't figure this out. We cannot figure out how to talk to y'all, but we would like to. We're trying. Okay.
We very much miss some of the forums part of it, but we'll figure it out. All right. This has been fantastic. And until next week, everyone, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game. The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.